Enjoy that good singing tonight. Say amen. Amen. What a blessing. If we could get to the place and sing what Levi and Korah just sang and mean it, where Christ is really all we need. Amen. Well, we sure get to thinking we need a whole lot more, don't we? If I had a dollar for every time I said I need, my mama used to say, yeah, like you need another hole in your head. Never knew exactly what she meant by that, but thank God we do have what we need tonight. Amen. Had God been good to you, say amen. Amen. I mean, look like you're well fed, look like you're well dressed, and look like you're doing all right. God has taken care of our needs, hasn't he? Why don't you take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 3 tonight. Proverbs chapter number 3. Just maybe a little lesson tonight. We were, Brother Freddie and myself and Levi were sitting in Levi's office the other day. And we got to talking about people who are, I'm trying to think of the right way to put it, idiots, I guess, if you will. That's the nicest way I know to say it. Hey, yeah, you ever run across that crowd? They're extremist. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, they're just absolutely, there's no middle of the road with them. They're just all the way. I mean, their bubbles ain't level on their level. Something's wrong. I mean, they just go all out. They're crazy. I mean, you know what their problem is? They have no balance to their life. Amen. I know some people, and you watch it in churches. Churches go, we've got the liberal churches, and they go so far that way that anything goes. But then you got those who are like us. They have some standards. They believe the book and all that kind of stuff. But if they're not careful, they'll go so far that way that they don't even have the ability to love somebody that's way over there that way. I actually heard one preacher say this on a CD somebody had gave me. He said, lost people had no business in church. That's what he said. He said, lost people have no business in church. He said, this is a holy place. Sinners aren't welcome in here. I thought you better go home. Amen. That's what he said. And I understand what he was saying. He said the whole idea is us for us to go out there and win them and then bring them in the house of God. But I'd hate to get to the place that I was so judgmental that I got to decide who can come and sit in church and who can't. I'd hate to know that I got so pharisaical that I actually believed in my heart that I'm better than somebody else. Amen. Do you understand that tonight, that you're not better than anybody else? Amen. You say, what about them people in jail? They got caught. The only difference between me and them tonight, they got caught. I didn't get caught. Amen. That's where I ought to be, and it's where many of us ought to be. But one of the toughest things you'll do in your Christian life is try to find that balance. Like if you drive a car, if I get in my truck and head north on 61 to go to Dallas, and that's a 61's a straight road all the way to Dallas. But if I held that steering wheel perfectly straight, would I make it to Dallas? I wouldn't, would I? If I pointed that thing north and held that steering wheel and not let it budge, I'd never make it to Dallas. Because driving a car is a lot like your life. It's a constant correction. You go over this far a little bit, you got to pull her back. You get over there, swerve over there a little bit, you got to pull her back. It's a constantly trying to keep it in the middle of the road. Now, I know what happens. Pastors get I'm trying to think of the right word, lazy, I guess, maybe, or they get to where they care more about the offering plate than they do the people putting the money in the offering plate, and they'll get to the place where, well, I guess this is okay, and I guess that's okay, and then one by one, they let go of their standards, and they let go of their doctrines, and next thing you know, they no longer have a King James Bible, and next thing you know, they got a rock band, and what happened? It was just a constant swerving, easing over without any pulling it back. And you got to learn how to pull that thing back in your life or you'll get so lopsided. Amen. I've watched young Christians here get saved and get on fire for God and God just really do a miraculous work in their life. But then the devil comes in and starts having them watch other people. Are we okay? God didn't put us here to be anybody's judge. I'm not here to straighten anybody out. You're not here to straighten anybody out. Amen. I have one spiritual relationship that I'm responsible for, and that is mine own. Amen. I'm not here to tell you, sir, how your wife needs to dress. That's your job. I'm not here to punish your children. That's your job. I'm not running your life. I'm here to lead you spiritually in the right direction. And when I see you getting a little far that way, we're going to jerk it back. When I see you running off the road on that side, I'm going to jerk it back. Let me tell you a book of the Bible that will help you be a balanced Christian more than any other book. The book of Proverbs. If you'll read a chapter of Proverbs every day, you will read the book of Proverbs every month. Amen. Old Jack Kyles used to say this. He said, I read Psalms and Proverbs every day. Psalm keeps me sweet. Proverbs keeps me honest. Amen. Just practical advice for daily living in the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to preach probably through about half of this chapter tonight and just give you some things that will help you to have a more balanced life. He said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life, peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let's pray. Fathers, we come to you again this evening. God, we thank you for a good day. And Father, we pray that you'd just bless this portion that we've read tonight. And Lord God, just illuminate our minds and our hearts. Father, I pray you'd help us to equip your children tonight. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Life, a balancing act. If I had to have a title, that's what I'd call it. Life is a balancing act. How many of you would agree with that? It's about, how many of you know somebody way over there to the right like I was talking about? How many of you know somebody way over to the left like I was talking about? Amen. There's the spiritual Jesus couldn't hang out with them. Amen. But I want us to be able to find a balance to our life and not to be too far one way or too far the other, but right down the middle of the road. Hey, listen, we want to be mercy and grace, but we can't be all mercy and grace. Amen. Sometimes we've got to be judgmental. And I don't mean that in a negative kind of way. We've got to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Everything is not okay. Would you agree with that? Everything is not okay. If everything's really okay, stop on your way home and buy your child a six-pack of beer. Got quiet on me, didn't it? If it's okay for you, it's okay for them. No difference whatsoever. I remember my mother used to tell me all the time when I was growing up. She hadn't smoked in years, but she used to smoke. And she said, if you ever put one of these things in your mouth, I'll kill you. Anybody's mama like that? Anybody ever have a parent like that? They tell you if you ever do what they're doing, they're going to kill you. Well, guess what I did? She did it. I did it. My sister did it. My sister still does it. Where did we get it? We got it from mama. Are we okay tonight? Everything's not okay. I would love to live in this. Brother Robbie loves me so much and brought me a book for Pastor Appreciation Day. I would love to jump on the bandwagon with this dude and just smile and say, oh, yes, kiss yourself. I'm serious. I'd love to be able to do that, but it'd be false. It'd be a lie. Now, just look at these verses tonight, and let's see if we can apply them to our life a little bit and see if it'll help us to find a little bit of balance in this thing we call Christianity, all right? Look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. He said, my son, forget not my, say it with me, law, but let thine heart keep my what? Commandments for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Number one, this will help us be more rounded or more balanced when it comes to our relationship with authority. Our relationship to authority. He said, forget not my law. God is the supreme authority in our life. Would you agree with that? We are living in a society that is so negative toward any kind of authority. I don't make anybody mad tonight, but cops can no longer do their jobs without fear of being put in jail. Amen. If my son pulls a gun on you or tries to take a gun away from you, shoot him. Are we okay? I know that's controversial, but man, hey, we're living in a day when a cop is afraid to pull his weapon in fear of what? Hey, but I say let the law be the law. Amen. If I get stopped doing 65 miles an hour out here in this 35, I'm not going to say a word. Why? I broke the law. You do the crime, you do the time. We need to be teaching our children to have respect for those that are in authority above us. Teachers, principals, we okay? Sunday school teachers, bus captains, pastors. Amen. Hey, when I was growing up, I was taught to respect the man of God.
Amen.
Amen. I cut up and played with these kids. I'm not against that. We cut up and hit on each other, and we have a good time. But thank God we have a church where our kids respect their pastor, and I thank God for it. Hey, but that is something that is taught. We have to teach it.
Amen.
We have to teach it. If we want our children to have respect for their... Hey, listen, when we had our school open, you would not believe it, but Brother Freddie will attest to this. We had children in our school who did no wrong, did they, Brother Freddie? No matter what, the parent took the child's side every time. If you do that, you're wrong. If you do that, if you always come to the aid and the rescue of your child, you're wrong. Every now and then, no, not my baby. Oh, yeah, your baby. Your baby going to do something stupid. Your baby's going to get in trouble. Amen. I told one lady, she said, you will not lay a hand on my child. I said, yeah, he's fixing to get a paddling. She said, oh, no, he's not. I said, ma'am, I got a letter in my hand where you signed putting your son in this school, giving permission for corporal punishment. Now he's fixing to receive it. Half the time, it's not the child that needs the spanking. Half the time, it's not the child that needs the spanking. It's the adult. You know why some people can't handle it? You know why they have to go way over there to that liberalism? You know why they have to do that? Because they cannot handle authority. They cannot handle anybody telling them what they're doing is wrong. Are we okay? We are to be able to handle some authority in our life and to respect those authorities that are placed in our life. Amen. You know what I do when I'm up here at the church and I see one of the officers out here? They sit in our parking lot all the time. And if you get pulled over in Villa Rica, you're going to get pulled over in our parking lot. I told them we want a kickback. Amen. We want part of the funds off of that. I can tell when their quota's running low. Amen. I'm serious. I have three or four pulled over at one time out here. But you know what I'll do? I'll walk out there at the cop's car. I'll knock on his window. I say, hey, man, you want a bottle of water or something? Yes, sir. One day I might need that guy.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not gonna huff and cuss over the guy sitting out here with a radar gun every time I'm on my way to church. That's his job.
Amen.
Amen. And we ought to respect them. When the cop pulls you over for a reason, you ought to respect the fact that they're doing their job.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to have a balance when it comes to the authority in our life. You know what it'll do for you? It will give you a long and peaceable life, according to verse number 2. I would hate to be one of these contingent people always kicking against everything. Amen. Amen. Do you have rules at home? Come on, talk to me. Do you have rules at home? Does your kids have chores at home? I made my bed growing up. I washed dishes growing up. Amen. We, Mama had rules, and we lived by the rules, or we suffered the consequences. Now, God said, "Forget my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." God said, I've got some rules. You can read them over there in Exodus. I've got some rules that you can live by. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery, blah, 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 on and on and on. God has some rules laid out. And listen, if we do not live by those rules, do not get upset with God when you have to pay the consequence. That's like me getting mad over a speeding ticket. I'm the one doing the speeding. Are we okay? We need to have a balance when it comes to the respect for the authorities that God has placed in our life. Hey, you ought to respect your boss.
Amen.
Amen. You have a boss at work, you ought to respect your boss. God set that thing up that way. Amen. Now, there's a lot of authorities in our life that I've lost a lot of respect for. That's our government. But I still respect the office. I respect the office of the President of the United States. Ronald Reagan once said that he had such respect for that office that he would not enter the threshold of the door without a suit, without a jacket and a tie on. That's how much respect he had for that office. But then yet we have a president having sex in that office. Amen. You've got to respect those authorities. Look at verse number three. Number one was our relationship to authority in our life, a balance in that relationship. Look, verse number three, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. We talked about our relationship with the authority in our life, but then what about a balance in the relationship with everybody else in our life? Yeah. Amen. We ought to be able to have a good relationship. How do we keep our relationships right with one another? Look at verse number three. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Hey, mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Man, that's something that the child of God ought to possess. I know many who are all truth. They're all truth. I mean, truth, 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 truth. Is what they preach right? Yeah. A lot of it. Some of them preach some stuff that's completely whack-jobbed and out there. But, I mean, what they preach is right. But what they're preaching, you can't live.
Yeah. Right.
They have all truth but no mercy. Amen. This crowd over here, they've got all mercy, no truth. Somewhere we got to find a middle ground here where we've got the right amount of mercy, and we've got the right amount of truth, and we bring those two things together, and our relationships will grow. Amen. Our relationships will grow. Mercy and truth. Sometimes I'm afraid I'm probably a little too much mercy. I'm soft. I love people to the point that instead of correcting them, I'll let them go and hurt yourself. Yeah. Amen. What do I need to do? I need to veer it back over here a little bit.
Amen.
And say, hey, that ain't right. Get that mess out of your life. It's going to wreck your home.
Amen.
Okay, you say what that is? That's truth. Mercy is loving you and giving you the truth all at the same time. Mercy is just loving you without giving you any truth at all. Now, I criticize this. What did I do with that book? Flew away. There it is. He's hiding. I give this guy fits, and justly so. He's a liar. He's a charlatan. He is. Well, what does he say that's so wrong? Nothing. Nothing. You read this book, ain't nothing bad in this book. I've never read it, but I promise you, some of y'all are upset that I'm talking about Joel. There's nothing bad in this book. It wouldn't hurt you spiritually if you read this book. Probably not. It's not what he says. It's what he doesn't say.
Amen.
If your preacher won't preach on hell, he don't love you.
Amen.
If your preacher won't even say the word sin, he don't love you. But if that's all he does, I don't think he loves you. You follow me? It's mercy and truth. It's mercy and truth. I don't want to be one of those Christians that my family despises seeing me coming. Y'all listening? I don't want to be one of those Christians that my friends that are lost or my family that are not in church, oh no, there he comes. Here we go. Get ready for some preaching. These six tell us how we all going to hell and how wicked we are. Anybody know Christians like that? They're annoying. Nothing wrong with being a witness. Nothing wrong with witnessing to your family. But if all you doing is hammering them in the head and hammering them in the head and hammering them in the head, that ain't going to cut it.
We've been praying for Brother Freddie's dad, Fred Young, for years, that he'd get saved or let us know one way or the other that he is saved. I guarantee you, I've been to their house. I've been in their home. I've never seen Brother Freddie go over and go, "Dad, if you don't get that thing settled, you're going to drop. I mean, you're going straight to hell." I ain't never heard him do his daddy like that. Thank God. You know what he does? He respects his daddy, and he loves his daddy, and he lives godly and righteously in front of his daddy. Amen. We okay? Now, I've heard him get on his mom a time or two for letting the kids get away with stuff at her house that they don't get away with here. Amen. Now, Mama, I done told you. I've heard him. That's mercy and truth. Yeah. And we've got to be able to carry that on with our children, with our spouses, with each other in our church. We got to find a balance there. Amen. I don't want to be a Christian nobody wants to be around. Yeah. Hey, but when it comes time to stand up for truth, I'm going to do that. If one of my family members asked me, I had one call me, Dylan called me, and he's wanting to know if I had his baptismal certificate. I said, "No, you should have your baptismal certificate." He said, "Well, I found a new church that I'm going to in Douglasville." I said, "What's the name of it?" He hem-hawed around. I said, "Dylan, what's the name of it?" "Well, it's a Catholic church." I said, "Are you out of your stinking mind?" I couldn't say, "Oh, well, at least you're going." Yeah. That's what this side over here would have said. Yeah. Y'all okay? Yeah. I had to say it ain't right.
That's right.
I love you enough to tell you that ain't where you need to be. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We okay? We need to find a balance there. But I don't want to be the one that every time he sees me, I'm on his case either.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. I don't want to be that, but I want to be have enough mercy and truth about me that I can tell somebody what's right and what's wrong. Amen? Let's see. Verse 5 and 6. We looked at our relationship to authority, our relationship to others. I want us to look at our relationship to God. Our relationship to God. By the way, if that one's not right, you don't even work on none of the rest of them. Because none of the rest of them are going to be right until that relationship's right with God. God has to be put in his rightful place. And by the way, look up here. It ain't in the trunk.
Amen, preacher.
So many people's got a spare tire kind of religion.
Yeah.
God is only there when you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Somebody fixing to get in a tight spot, first two words out of their mouth.
Oh, God.
Even an atheist. Oh, God. Sometimes I wonder if God's going, "You talking to me? I ain't heard from you in 6 months. Last time something happened." We've got to put God in his rightful place. He's not just, he is our Savior. He is our present help in time of need. He is all that. But he's more than that. He's our Lord. You know what a Lord is? A Lord is somebody you worship. Amen. Man, if we love God like we love some of our stuff, I'd get some of you men to fall in love with God like you love a deer stand or a fishing pole.
Yeah.
Amen. Or an assault rifle. Yeah. Oh, Don raised his head up right. Amen. It's so easy to let our stuff and our fun and our hobby get bigger than what our God is. Yeah. And we've got to work to keep God in his rightful place. Hey, you can't get too far that way with God, with your relationship with God.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. You can't get out of balance with your relationship with God. The only out of balance in your relationship is when there is no relationship. Does that make sense? What I'm trying to say is you can't get too close to God. You can't get enough of him. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Probably most of you can quote this. He said, "Trust in the Lord." How? "With all thine heart." That's hard to do, ain't it? Y'all listening to me? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When I was a little boy, I played a game. My granddaddy went to town every day at 12 o'clock. Every day. He got his old man hat out, shined his shoes. He went to town to the Spur station in Dallas and sat on the bench and shot the bull with a bunch of other old men. Did it every day. Every day I knew when it was time for Papa to start to leave, I'd run, I'd fly out the house, and I'd climb up on top of the well house, which was right beside Papa's car. And every day he'd walk by that well house, and he'd do like that. And I'd just dive. Foof. That's trust. Not one time did I ever hit the ground. Papa caught me every single time. Amen. I don't know if I'd do that today. I'm a lot bigger and he's dead.
But we've got to learn how to do this with God. We've got to learn that we really can fully 100% jump. You know what that is? That's faith. That's faith. My little childlike mind. I had faith in my granddaddy. He had no big old paws for hands, but I knew that if I jumped, he would catch me and he loved me in such a way he would never let me go to the ground. He'd come home. I'd do the same thing. He'd have a bag of groceries under his arm. Here I come, Papa.
Why can't I by faith write that tithe check and say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you said do, and I'm going to trust you to take care of my needs.
Every week of my life. You say, well, we just can't afford tithing. You don't trust God. You just don't trust him. Look, I'm here to tell you, you can trust him. If you can trust him with your soul, you can trust him with your dollar.
Amen.
You surely can. You can trust him with your relationship.
Yeah.
You can trust him with your marriage.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Man, the wheels come off of mine one time. And I thought, buddy, this is it. And you know what we had to do? We had to take our relationship and turn that thing back over to God.
Amen.
Amen. I've had people come in my office, and honestly, the devil had them convinced it's too far gone. It can't be fixed. And I'm like, wait a minute. Let me tell you about a situation. Then let me tell you about another situation. Let me tell you about another situation where mom and daddy's still together and God's got honor and glory out of their life.
Amen.
You can trust him with it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can't trust Oprah with it.
That's right.
You can't, what's his name, Dr. Phil? You can't trust him with it. You can't trust Osteen with it. But you can trust Jesus Christ with it.
Amen.
He said, trust him with all your heart. With all your heart. And lean not under your own understanding. I'm a why guy. Anybody like that?
Yeah.
Well, we got to do this. We got to do this. Why? Here's how we have to do this. Why? When I first started plumbing, my boss had showed me how he wanted me to run the pipe to catch this set of bathrooms or whatever. And he'd walk away. I figured me out a better way to do it. He'd say, that ain't what I told you to do. I said, does that work? He said, yeah, but it ain't what I told you to do.
Yeah.
Tear it out, put it back like I told you to do it.
Yep.
Amen. We look at God and go, well, I don't see any sense in that. I don't see any sense in that. Have you ever thought that?
Amen.
Heard a preacher preaching something, you think, well, that's ridiculous. If it's in the book, it's in the book.
Amen.
Are we all right? If it's in the book, it's in the book, man, and we got to go, okay, I don't understand it, but you know better than I do. Do you think God knows better than you do? Do you think he knows what's better for you than you do for your own self? Come on, talk to me now. What I'm trying to tell you is you can trust him, and you don't have to try to figure everything out. You ain't got to lean under your own understanding. You can't look back, and you can't even look at your own life and think you got it figured out. We overthink things, I believe.
Amen.
When all we really got to do is trust God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Brother Robbie, do you believe that God put Tabitha in your life? Do you think that was part of his plan? Sure, I do too.
Amen.
Now, if God put her in your life, and you could trust God to do that, do you think you could trust God to keep it working? We okay? God put your spouse in your life. If he did that, you prayed for that, and that's what he gave you,
God knew exactly who you were and what you were. He knew who she was and who you are. And if he puts you together, if you'll trust him, he can keep you together.
Amen.
Amen. Our relationship to God is one of trust.
Yes.
I'm for having a great prayer life. You ought to have. More you see answered prayer, more you'll trust God.
Yes.
I've seen God do some big old things. I trust him with anything.
Yes,
sir. I really will. I trust him with anything. He's never made me a promise that he went back on.
Yes.
Not one time. Your relationship with God is a relationship of trust. Listen, you have to trust him. You can't see him. You can't hear him. I've had people tell me God spoke to me in an audible voice. Too much NyQuil, friend. I've never had God speak to me in an audible voice, but I've had him speak to me in such a ways it wouldn't have made no difference. You know what I'm saying? It'd been just as real. It was just as real had it been an audible voice. He might as well come stood at the foot of my bed and say, hey, hey, hey. Real, man. What I'm trying to say is you can trust God. You can trust God. Hey, you've got to live by faith. You've got to live by faith. You can't see him. You can't hear him. Old Robert said he saw him and he is 90 foot tall. That's a little bitty Jesus. My Bible said the earth is his footstool. I serve a big God. Amen. Let me say it one more time. We're going to move on tonight. You can trust the Lord. 100%, I mean you can trust him. You say, well, I trusted God and he let me down. Uh-uh. Man might have let you down. But don't give God the credit for something God didn't do. You say, well, God allowed it to happen. God gave man a will. God don't say to one, pick up your pistol, go shoot that one over there. God doesn't do that. God doesn't have anything to do with that. But God gave you the will that if you so desire to do that, you can. Would you agree?
Yes.
Amen. Never shot anybody in my life. But there is nothing stopping me. I got a loaded gun in my truck. I mean, I can just pick it up and at random shoot somebody. I've thought about it a time or two. I never have done. And every time I start to do wrong, God's not going to jump in there and intervene. Now, the Holy Spirit may convict my heart. But I'm still capable of committing any sin. And because I'm the pastor and I sin and people get hurt by it, stay with me. That doesn't make it God's fault. I know people who are bitter at God for something a preacher did. No, you can trust God. Amen. Let me hurry up. We talked about our relationship to authority, our relationship to others, our relationship to God. Now watch this. You need to have a right balance in your relationship to yourself. To yourself. Look at verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Be not wise in thine own eyes. That's kind of like that thing of thinking too highly of yourself lest you fall. Amen. We need to have the right relationship with ourselves. I need to have the right relationship with God, but also I need to have the right relationship with myself so that I can be honest with God about who I am.
Amen.
You can lie to yourself long enough that you believe it.
Amen.
You'll grow callous to your own sin.
Right.
You'll justify something for so long that it becomes right in your mind. Y'all listening? You justify something for so long that now it's no longer anything wrong with it. Now say, I got to have the right relationship with myself. Now I can tell you how good I am. I can tell you how I live and walk holy and upright and just. I can tell you all that. I can put on a pretty good show in front of you. But when I get down here on my knees to talk to God, I need to be able to say, God, this is what they see.
Yeah.
And here's what you see.
Amen.
Yeah. That's a lot of people's problem. They can't be honest with themselves. They've convinced themselves so long that they're all right and they're all this and they're all that it somehow makes them high and lofty enough to sit around and judge everybody else. You got a bad relationship with yourself. You need to get where the only way you're going to be honest with God is if first you're honest with you. Amen. We need to have the right relationship with ourselves. Let me give you this last one. I'm done. Y'all are really going to love this one. Look at verse number 9. We talked about our relationship to authority, our relationship to others, our relationship with God, our relationship with self. Now I want you to look at your relationship with wealth, material things, your possessions. Watch what he said. Honor the Lord with thy what?
Substance.
Now, stay with me just for a second. Do you think that's money only?
No.
I don't think it's everything. Right. Everything we own, we should honor God with it somehow.
Amen.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Listen, we ought to have the right relationship when it comes to our finances. Some people don't have money because God can't let you have money.
That's right.
You can't handle money. Some of us, I believe God has to keep poor just so we'll stay around. Oh, I've had people over the years, Brother Brady's heard them. Oh, Brother Eddie, we get this lawsuit. We get this settlement. We're going to do this and this and this for the church. And, buddy, you hear through the grapevine they got that settlement and they gone.
Yes, sir.
Buying stuff and cars and houses and, I mean, just go crazy. Next thing you know, they need a love offering.
Yes.
I'm serious. It's a heart attack. I'm not making a joke.
Yeah.
I've had people come into a great sum of money, and in 6 weeks' time, we had to buy them groceries. That's happened time and time again. Am I telling the truth? It's the Lord's truth, man. They can't handle their money. They're out of whack one way or the other. If you've got so much credit card debt that you'll never pay them off, your relationship with your money is out of whack. You need to find a balance in there in that thing. Number one, you need to honor God with the first fruits of your increase. What is that? That's your tithes. That's your tithes all day long. Somebody argued me one time, said, well, the New Testament doesn't teach tithing. Sure it does. It just intensifies what the Old Testament does. That's everything in the New Testament intensifies what God taught in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Amen. In the Old Testament, you're not to commit adultery. Jesus said, you look on a woman to lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. What's he do? He intensifies that thing.
Amen.
Amen. I believe the Bible teaches tithing. A tithe is a tenth. Brother Freddie told a joke one time when he was preaching about an old guy, old drunk, come to church. The preacher said, God wants a tenth. He said, I ain't got a tenth, but I got two fists out there on the seat of the truck. How can we expect God to to bless us financially when we won't give him what's already rightfully his? No wonder we struggle. You say, preacher, I don't make a whole lot of money. Then your tithe's not going to be a whole lot. Amen. It's people that make a whole lot of money that have more trouble tithing. Amen. I can write a check for $100 a whole lot easier than I can write one for
$1,000.
Amen. Then you really want to get spiritual, do something above that. I sat in my office one Sunday morning, and I started to write my check. This has been several years ago. I started to write that check, and the Lord stopped me and put another number in my mind. I said, boy, that's a good bit more than my tithes. God said, well, that's what I want you to do. Are y'all going to think I'm kidding? I obeyed the Lord, and I wrote that amount, and I've been doing it ever since. Never missed a week. You ask Brother Tom. I never missed a week. I don't just tithe. I give well above my tithes. And then I write another check, and it's for missions. Are you listening? And now we're going to write another check, and it's going to be for Victory Valley Rescue Ranch. Y'all okay? Here's what happened. After church, my wife and I are on our way home. I said, I guess I ought to tell you about something. I said, what? I said, I felt like the Lord impressed on my heart this morning to give more than our tithes and to do that from now on. She said, let me guess, you wrote the check for blah, blah, blah. I said, yep. She said, the Lord showed me the same thing. She said, I started to come tell you and I didn't want to walk out of Sunday school.
Amen. There have been days when we struggle. But I promise you, we ain't never done without nothing. You can't outgive God. And you can't keep what belongs to God. You say, we don't tithe. I bet you a dollar you don't keep it. Guarantee you. I guarantee you. Transmission man will get it. Doctor will get it. Refrigerator repair man will get it. The IRS will get it. Somebody's getting it. You ain't keeping it. Amen. We ought to have the right relationship. Amen. Hey, just because you can get approved for a loan don't mean you should have one. Just a little financial advice here. And I'm done. We're gonna come to the altar in just a minute. Several or a month or so ago, my wife has a lot of back trouble. And Brother Tom and Miss King had given us a hot tub, and we got that thing on our back porch, and it never would work. And I told my wife one night, I said, we're going to see if we can get you a hot tub. And we did. And I bought a new hot tub sitting on my back deck. Since then, that's just been a month, every day in the mail, I get at least two every day of these pre-approved loans. It's a check. All you got to do is go cash it. And you got yourself a loan. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Two a day come in the mail. We laugh and cut up. I open it up. There's another 6,000, baby. There's 10,000. There's 5,000. Now, how foolish would it be to put them things in the bank? Just because I've been approved don't mean I need that. Amen. It's not wise. We need to have some wisdom and some balance when it comes to the handling of our finances. Just because you can afford something doesn't mean you always need to do it. Amen. I would rather the Lord be pleased with my money than me be pleased with my money. Hey, that's a spiritual part of your life. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be addressed over and over and over in this book right here. That's a spiritual thing. Amen. Hope that was a help to you tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Easter cards, where are they at, son? They're not in a box.